Last week, we told you about the ongoing tug-of-war over finances between the state of Washington and its counties. County officials hoped this year the legislature would give them relief from a state law that allows only 1% annual growth in county property tax revenue. That law is the result of Initiative 747, approved by voters in 2001, invalidated by the courts several years later, and then passed into law again by the legislature in 2007. County officials, especially those in rural areas, say 1% growth isn't enough to cover their expenses. They proposed a combination of population growth plus inflation, capped at a 5% annual growth rate. But with other important fiscal matters before them, the legislature hasn't acted on the proposal, and some county officials are expressing their disappointment. One correction from last week's story: I had written that Chelan Republican Representative Kerry Condotta was skeptical about the county officials' claims about the need for more tax money. He wrote us to say we mischaracterized his position, and after reviewing the story, we agree with him. I've since apologized to Representative Condotta and offered him the chance to explain his views on this. He says, given the popularity of controlling property taxes, changing the state law to allow more growth isn't politically popular, and he says it's not the best solution anyway.
What it really comes down to is that the state is not doing their share of the work. They keep putting unfunded mandates on counties. They've been doing it for years, and they never pay for any of it. And the cities are also encroaching more and more. The cities are growing and expanding and taking up more of the tax base. And yet the counties still have to provide a lot of the same services with a lot less tax base. It's a structural problem. It's not just a matter of lifting the 1%. It's really looking at the whole way counties are financed. And what's the future going to be if these cities continue to expand and the state continues to load them unfunded mandates? So the counties would be the same as an agency like DNR, or Department of Ecology. They really are just an agency of the state, and yet the state doesn't take care of them. So let me put this back in another way. This is just like McCleary, and this is what's going to happen. You're going to see the counties, I believe, they're pushed to the limit here. They're going to sue the state under the same basis as the school districts did on McCleary, and say that the state is not funding their constitutional mandates to the counties. And I do believe they'll win. And so what we see coming is another McCleary, but from the counties. So what we're trying to do is get ahead of that curve. And so our package of bills is directed at all of those things. Primarily, we think the state needs to step up and do their part, and the cities need to step up and do their part before there's any more leverage put on the taxpayers.
When you talk about unfunded mandates, what types of things are you talking about?
There's a lot of pressure put on counties with no back funding. Now, indigent defense is a perfect example. These counties get a murder trial in a small county like Grant County or Douglas County. They get a murder trial, and they can blow their whole budget on this one trial. The state is responsible for that defense. It's clear that they should be paying for it, but they used to, but they don't anymore. And so one of the bills is to require the state to pick up indigent defense over a certain percentage of the budget or over a certain number. We're working on the details. Basically would say we're not going to break any county, bankrupt them over one case or two cases or whatever they get into. If it reaches a certain criteria, the state has to step in and pick up the tab. There's another bill that says the cities, we have to identify what are the services that the county is providing for the cities, and are they paying their fair share? Or should the cities have to contract with the counties for some of these services? The courts, the public defense, the kind of things that the counties do that the cities don't. And if the city provides their own service, great, like the big cities do. But if they don't, perhaps they need to pay a bigger share. So we've got a formula working on that. So you really start to look at rebalancing the entire tax structure for counties. The other thing that we have looked at in the past, all the legislatures looked at, is additional taxation. Cities have many different methods of taxes, from utility taxes, B&O taxes, on top of the property taxes and the sales taxes. Counties have sales tax and property tax. That's it. They have no other authority to step out. So we've looked at what are the possibilities. Are there other taxes that should be shared from the cities or should be allowed by the counties?
Are there counties in the state of Washington that are in danger of either declaring bankruptcy or defaulting of some kind?
There are. I mean, we've heard of a few that are on the ragged edge. The one that probably comes to mind first is Ferry County, which is at a very difficult time providing any services up north of us here. And they're looking for something. And one of the other things that's important to remember here, too, there's another variable. In the tax structure, this 1% isn't truly a 1% at all. It's 1% plus new construction. And in most counties, unless, again, the cities have encroached, in most counties, that works out to 2 or 3 or 4%. So they really aren't quite living on 1%. But here you go. The double whammy is if you have a county like Ferry County where there's no economic growth and no tax base, and then you've got a problem because you're not getting that extra growth. If you go into King County, we've seen numbers as high as 7 and 8% with new construction involved. They're actually ahead of the inflation curve. So it just depends. That's why we look at it and say raising 1% isn't the only answer. We have a big structural problem going forward.
So you also made reference to this might be the next McCleary. Considering how McCleary tied the legislature in knots for a few years, is the same sort of reaction due to with the legislature in this particular case?
I think the legislature could be put in the same box, because if you look at the Constitution and you look at the mandates and just how things used to be, I agreed with the McCleary decision wholeheartedly because I watched it for all the years I was there. We kept dumping more and more into state programs and taking away from education, taking away from natural resources, taking away from counties particularly, so we could have our grand program. And I think this is the trend the state has been on for some time. And so I think that the lawsuit is very possible, and I think it's very viable. And I encourage him to do it because I frankly think we're not doing for the counties what we should be doing. So we hope that this package of bills would start the discussion, the structural change that will solve the problem before it happens.
Kerry Condotta is a Republican state representative from Chelan. He believes there is support from both parties for the package of bills he referred to help county governments. The problem, he says, will be in finding money in the budget to divert away from something else to give to the counties.